Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live on this sixth day of February 2020. This is Fundamentally Mormon. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Tonight we are going to be continuing on with Chapter 9. The Book of Mormon also testifies. So this is a reading of Who Crucified Christ by Ogden Kraut. The text to this will be or is posted on Facebook at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977 and will be posted in the different groups that I admin: LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and other pages like Zion's Redemption Bookstore, Church of the Living Messiah, and Messiah Ben Joseph, to name a few. So let's get right into this reading of this chapter tonight. We will be starting on page 79 of Who Crucified Christ, which can also be read for free online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Once you get on the main page, click on Read Ogden's Books, and then scroll down to the bottom of the list. It's in alphabetical order, second to the last. Click on that, Who Crucified Christ, and then you scroll down to page 79. To read along there. You can read the whole book for free online, as well as many other Ogden Kraut books on that website. So let's get right into the reading tonight. We'll be talking about what the testimony is in the Book of Mormon, so which is the second witness of Jesus Christ. So in Amos, it says that it is by the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word be established. And in Ezekiel chapter 37, it talks about two records coming forth, one from the tribe of Judah, and that's the Bible or the Tanakh, the Old Testament, the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, and the record of Ephraim, which is the Book of Mormon, two witnesses, which goes right along with Amos. Where it talks about two or three witnesses. So, the Book of Mormon also testifies, "Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, that I remember one nation like unto another, or in other words, one tribe like unto another? Wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of two nations shall run together also." 2 Nephi chapter 29, verse 8. In addition to the New Testament, there are also other available statements and records that contribute to the testimony of what happened leading up to the crucifixion of Christ. This chapter will deal with those from the Book of Mormon, the prophet Zenos. "For thus spake the prophet Zenos, the Lord God," or in other words, Jehovah your Elohim, "surely shall visit all the house of Israel at that day, some with his voice because of their righteousness unto their great joy and salvation, and others to the with the thunderings and lightnings of his power, by tempests, by fire, by smoke and vapor of darkness, and by the opening up of the earth, and by the mountains which shall be carried up. And all these things must surely come, saith the prophet Zenos." And he's quoting the prophet Zenos, because Zenos actually wrote prophecies down. He was a prophet in Jerusalem during the time that Lehi lived, who was a prophet who led his family out of Jerusalem just before the Babylonian captivity. And we know more about what the prophet Zenos spoke in the Book of Lehi. Unfortunately, the Book of Lehi had been taken after it was translated. I believe that was all in what God needed to do. So I believe the reason why the 116 pages were lost was partly as a lesson to Joseph Smith about needing to be obedient to God and not fearing man. But I also believe that there are many things in the book of Lehi that Joseph Smith needed to know in order to restore the church. Lehi talked about the prophet Zenas, who was a member of the school of the prophets in Jerusalem. And so we know about Zenas because of the Book of Mormon, but we don't have his full writings. We have more in the Book of Lehi. Unfortunately, for most, they don't have the Book of Lehi. And I believe that when it was taken by Martin Harris, that his wife had it, and then Martin Harris wanted to show the manuscript of the Book of Lehi to one of his friends, so he went and took it out of Lucy, I think it was Lucy Harris, his wife's cabinet, I don't know what you call it, her chest where she was keeping it, and he put it in a place where he wanted to keep it, and then when he went back to get it, it was gone. I believe, personally, that God took it the same way that God allowed Moroni to take the golden plates from the prophet Joseph for being disobedient. Like, he went to grab the plates and take them out, and he wasn't supposed to take his eyes off the plates. You know, he was supposed to deliver them to a safe place out of the ground where he buried where the prophet or the angel Moroni had hidden them in the earth. And when he went to grab them after he looked back in the hole to see what else was in there, the plates were taken and put back in the hole by the angel. I believe the same thing happened with the 116 pages. They weren't for us at this time. There's things in there, things that I have read personally that bother me a little bit culturally, because we had different cultures and the completely different cultures. You have to remember that the Book of Mormon and even the Bible, their cultures were very different than ours. And there's things in their cultures that are kind of offensive to our modern sensibilities. And I believe that the prophet Lehi, in his culture, there were things that would probably be hard for most Gentiles to understand. I enjoy reading the Book of Lehi, but at this time, they're not for the world. Eventually, we'll get to the point where we can accept it. The other reason why I believe that the prophet Moroni and the prophet Mormon abridged the different records wasn't only because there was not enough room on the plates, but because there were things that we needed to know in our generation, because the Book of Mormon was abridged by the prophet to give us a message in our day. Not everything that was written in those records was for us. And that there were many things in those records that probably were not going to be useful for the Gentiles in our generation. Also understanding that their cultures were very different. There would be things that were offensive to us in our culture. So one of the reasons why I don't release the Book of Lehi that I have is because of that very reason. But I can talk about things in those books. So just to clarify, I did not receive the Book of Lehi by use of the seer stone. I have the book. It was received by somebody who I'm a little bit ashamed of. But I believe that before he fell, that he was being used by the hand of God to do a great work. Now, Joseph Smith taught that if a prophet falls, if a seer falls, that he shall retain his gift, but he will be influenced by the adversary. I believe that's what happened with Samuel Warren Schaefer, who was a patriarch in the Church of the Living Messiah, which church I founded in 2013. And I called him to the calling of patriarch of the church in 2015, and then excommunicated him in 2016 before he fell. I think it was 2016. Yeah, it was. So, God led this prophet to me, and he did a lot of things that I needed to have done, certain temple ordinances that I couldn't do for myself. He did a lot, but what happened was he and another man named John Colthorpe, who was also somebody that I had met many times, got together, and I always told Sam, so the person who received the Book of Lehi by use of the Urim and Thummim was, I don't know how to describe it, but he would receive these revelations through seer stone and visions, and sometimes he would receive good ones, and sometimes he would receive bad ones. Because when the gift of seership is opened up to a person, you receive a lot, and the adversary wants to give you revelations, lots of revelations. And in order for you to be a seer for God, you have to understand how to test the revelations to make sure they are from God. I tried teaching him. For a while, he listened until John Colthorpe came into the picture. And then John Colthorpe was a Judas goat. I kept telling Sam that he was a Judas goat and that he should not follow him. And I kept trying to teach him how to receive confirmation to make sure that his revelations were from God. And Sam's what he told me is that he just receives whatever he receives, and he just puts it out there for other people to accept or reject. And I told him he was being a prophet of the adversary by doing that. And that if he was going to be a prophet of God, that he needed to check his revelations and make sure they were from God, and he just refused. Eventually, I excommunicated both John and Sam in July of 2016, and lo and behold, about 5 months later, they were both arrested for things that they were doing and had done. They started a church called, well, it wasn't a church, it was kind of a fraternal order called Knights of the Crystal Blade. Anyway, they tried to convert me and to tell me that John had received many revelations about me, and that I was the prophet Elijah and the reincarnation of the prophet Enoch. And that John and I were going to be the two witnesses who stand in the streets of Jerusalem. And John also threatened me and my family that if I did not accept the will of the Lord, that great harm would befall both me and my family. Anyway, so I kept a nice smile on my face when they were at my house. And then when they left, I was kind of torn because I knew that they were being deceived, but I didn't know what to do with them. And I received a revelation that I should have nothing more to do with John or with Sam at that point. Sam went back, and all of the translations that he received and all the revelations that he received, he destroyed them all because John told him to. And, so I still have them, even though Sam destroyed them all. I have my own copies of them, so that's why I have the Book of Lehi. And I believe at the time when Sam received it, that he was receiving these translations by the gift and power of God. And as I said before, Joseph Smith taught a very true principle that if a prophet or a seer falls, that he shall retain his gift of seership, but he shall receive those things, the things that he sees, or the revelations or the translations that he receives, they won't come from the right source. So anyway, that's why I have the Book of Lehi, and that's why I know about the prophet Zenos, and I know more about it. Not that I have received them myself. So I don't like to talk about that, because I'm ashamed of what he did. Both Sam and John, they are both in prison now. One in Gunnison, Utah, and that's where John Colthorpe is, and I haven't had anything to do with him, even though he has told news outlets that, you know, he loves me, and that, because, oh my gosh, it was a big mess for a whole year. That's where a lot of the death threats that I mean, I had death threats before that, but it became overwhelming and ridiculous because of what they did. So just, I don't like to talk about it, but what Sam and John did is, for some reason, they thought that there was going to be an overthrow of the U.S. government, and that it would be a Muslim overthrow, and that they needed to go out into the desert and build these compounds out of money that they had been given by some guy up in Canada, I think it was. And they had built these, kind of like a compound out in the middle of nowhere, Utah, in Iron County, I think it was, Burled, Utah. And John had taken his children away from his wife and left, and his wife, you know, got a divorce from him, and there was a court order that John should give the children back to his wife, who was about to be his ex-wife, and he refused to take or to give them back. So he kidnapped his children. Sam was complicit in the kidnapping, but then as things began to unravel, there was a lot more that happened there than, like, when I first learned about it, I didn't believe it. But apparently, John and Sam decided to marry each other's daughters. These daughters were 8 and 9 years old, I think it was. And then there was another one who was part of that group, and they're all in prison now, that married the 6-year-old. And John convinced Sam that in order for the marriage to be complete and holy, they had to consummate the marriage with these little girls. So I think Sam is in prison for 26 years to life, and he's written some revelations and had his family send them to me, and it's just ridiculous. It's so bad, and they're not repentant for anything that they did. John is in prison in Gunnison for 40, I think it's 46 years to life. So I'm really ashamed of what they did. I tried to warn them both. I didn't know that they were going down that path, but they were doing other things that were bad. Not bad, just their beliefs were just really screwed up. Things like believing that Hitler was a prophet, that the Nazis were God's chosen people, the Aryan race, a bunch of racism stuff, flat earth stuff, a bunch of conspiracy theories. And I kept telling Sam, whatever that is, that needs to be away from the church. And I'm not going to try to control what they think, but it has nothing to do with Zion's redemption or bringing up the people of God. But they disagreed. And they wanted to pollute the church with these radical ideas. And when I asked God about it, I was told that they'd given themselves over to being prophets of the adversary, and that I needed to cut them off, which thing I did in July of 2016. And then, like I said, I think it was in November or December of 2016, they were both arrested for doing these heinous crimes that just ridiculous. So I have these revelations, and I've received my own revelations, many of them written revelations. But I also accept the revelations that Sam received before he fell. And so I have the book of Lehi, which he was given. He did a lot of great things for me and my family. And he could have been great, but he chose to follow after darkness, and he fell. So, yeah, I have the books. I have the translations. I believe that they're from God. But I don't like to talk about where I got them from because I'm ashamed of what he did. And what he did caused a lot of heartache in my life, tons, both because of what he did to his own children and John's children, but also because of what he did to the work that I'm trying to do in helping people to understand the restored gospel of Jesus Christ as given to the prophet Joseph Smith, and so that Zion has a people who will be obedient. But how are they going to be obedient unless they understand what the truth is? And they're not being taught in the restoration movements, the Brighamite Church, any of them. They're not being taught about the higher principles that were restored to the prophet Joseph Smith. So that's what I talk about, and that's why I do these radio shows, so that there will be a people who eventually will want to be a Zion people. But how do you know you want to be a Zion people unless you know what a Zion people is? So that's what I talk about. Anyway, that's why I know more about the prophet Zenos. But I'm not the one who received the translations. Like I said, I've received many revelations, written visions, dreams, inspirations, unwritten revelations. But sometimes God tells me sit down and write, and he tells me what to write, and I write written revelations. But these aren't my revelations. So anyway, but we're going to go back to the prophet Zenos. Let's see here. And as for those who are at Jerusalem, saith the prophet, they shall be scourged by all people, because they crucify the God of Israel, and turn their hearts aside, rejecting signs and wonders and the power and glory of the God of Israel. And because they turn their hearts aside, saith the prophet, and have despised the Holy One of Israel, they shall wander in the flesh and perish, and shall become a hiss and a byword, and be hated among all nations. Nevertheless, when that day cometh, saith the prophet, that they no more turn aside their hearts against the Holy One of Israel, then he will remember the covenants which he had made to their fathers. 1 Nephi chapter 19, verses 11 through 15. That's in the Book of Mormon, or the stick of Joseph, the record of the tribe of Ephraim, who was a son of Joseph. Nephi. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered among all nations. And Nephi is a prophet in the Book of Mormon as well, who lived just during the time of the Babylonian captivity, and his father Lehi led them out of Jerusalem, and eventually they were brought to the North American continent. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered among all nations, yea, and also Babylon shall be destroyed. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered by other nations. And after they have been scattered, and the Lord God had scourged them by other nations for the space of many generations, yea, even down from generation to generation, until they shall be persuaded to believe in Christ, the Son of God, and the atonement which is infinite for all mankind, and when they shall come, that they shall believe in Christ and worship the Father in his name with pure hearts and clean hands, and look not forward any more for another Messiah, then at that time the day will come that it must needs be expedient that they should believe these things. And the Lord will set his hand again the second time to restore his people from their lost and fallen state. Wherefore, he will proceed to do a marvelous work and wonder among the children of men. Wherefore, he shall bring forth his words unto them, which words shall judge them at the last days, at the last day. For they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah, who is rejected by them, and unto the convincing of them that they need not look any more for a Messiah to come. For there should not any come, save it be a false Messiah, which should deceive the people. For there is save one Messiah spoken of by the prophets, and that Messiah is he who should be rejected of the Jews. 2 Nephi chapter 25, verses 15 through 18. Also in 3 Nephi chapter 29, verse 8. Now this prophet lived after the time of Christ. The other prophet lived before Christ. But this is in 3 Nephi 29, 8. Yea, and ye need not any longer hiss, nor spurn, nor make game of the Jews, nor any of the remnant of the house of Israel. For behold, the Lord remembers his covenants unto them, and he will do unto them according to that which he hath sworn. End quote, 3 Nephi chapter 29, verse 8. Jacob, Nephi's brother, the son of Lehi, he stated, "And now I, Jacob, would speak somewhat concerning these things. For behold, the Lord had shown me that those who were at Jerusalem, from whence we came, have been slain and carried away captive." So this is when they were already in the Promised Land. After many years of traveling, they had settled in North American continent. And Jacob, who was also a prophet and a seer, was shown a vision of what happened in Jerusalem, where he was born, where he was raised as a child, in part. So he was raised a lot in the wilderness too. But nevertheless, the Lord had shown unto me that they should return again. And he also has shown unto me that the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, should manifest himself unto them in the flesh. And after he should manifest himself, they should scourge him and crucify him according to the words of the angel who spake it unto me. And after they have hardened their hearts and stiffened their necks against the Holy One of Israel, behold, the judgments of the Holy One of Israel shall come upon them, and the day cometh that they shall be smitten and afflicted. And behold, according to the words of the prophet, the Messiah will set himself again a second time to recover them. Wherefore, he will manifest himself unto them in power and great glory unto the destruction of their enemies. When that day cometh, when they shall believe in him, and none will he destroy that believe in him, and they that believe not in him shall be destroyed both by fire and by tempest and by earthquake and by bloodshed and by pestilence and by famine. And they shall know that the Lord is God, the Holy One of Israel. 2 Nephi chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. And also verses 14 and 15. So we're on page 82 of Who Crucified Christ by Ogden Kraut, for those of you following along. Wherefore, as I said unto you, it must needs be expedient that Christ, for in the last night the angel spoke unto me that this should be his name, should come among the Jews, among those who are the more wicked part of the world, and they shall crucify him, for thus it behooveth our God. And there is none other nation on earth that would crucify their God. For should the mighty miracles be wrought among other nations, they would repent and know that he is their God. But because of priestcrafts and iniquities, they at Jerusalem will stiffen their necks against him, that he be crucified. Wherefore, because of their iniquities, destructions, famine, and pestilence, and bloodshed shall come upon them, and they who shall not be destroyed shall be scattered among all nations. 2 Nephi chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. 4 Nephi. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding all these miracles, the people did, harden their hearts and did seek to kill them, even as the Jews at Jerusalem sought to kill Jesus according to his word. 4 Nephi chapter 1, verse 31. The prophet Mormon. Know ye that ye must come to a knowledge of your fathers, and repent of all your sins and iniquities, and believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that he was slain by the Jews, and by the power of the Father, he hath risen again. Wherefore, he hath gained the victory over the grave, and also in him is the sting of death swallowed up. And he bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead, whereby man must be raised to stand before his judgment seat. Moroni chapter 7, verses 5 through 6, page 83. The highlights of these quotes from the Book of Mormon are listed. Number 1. The Jews at Jerusalem sought to kill Jesus. Number 2. Those at Jerusalem shall crucify the God of Israel. Number 3. The Jews shall be hated and scattered by all nations among all nations. Number 4. There is none other nation than the Jews that would crucify their God. Number 5. Because of their priestcrafts and iniquities, the Jews would crucify Jesus. Number 6, for a second time the Lord will restore the Jews. Number 7, there is only one Messiah who would be rejected by the Jews. Number 8, Jesus Christ was slain by the Jews. Interestingly enough, the Romans were not even mentioned in these references. So that's the end of the reading of this chapter. The next chapter will start on page 84. That's chapter 10. I'm going to read a little bit of a preview on this chapter, and then if we don't have any phone calls, I've got a little bit of commentary, but we'll end it for the night. So the guest call-in number for anyone who's listening who wants to come on the show, talk about whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's hopefully related to last day's prophecy and gospel discussions. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Interesting. So this next chapter is chapter 10, and I'll look at the studio as soon as I'm done reading the first page of this chapter. And then if we don't have any calls before I end, then I'll just end it. So chapter 10. A closer look at the courts and the crucifixion. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. John chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. So, anyway, so that's what we're going to be talking about next time we come back on the program. Let me see if we have any callers real quick. And we don't have any callers. So I think what I'm going to do is if I got enough battery percentage left, I'm probably going to do another one at midnight and read chapter 10. That way I have, so I can do one radio show a day. I can do up to 3 hours a day, 2 hours of live streaming and 1 hour of overdrive. And if I don't need it, I don't need it. But I used to just do 3 hours every night at 11. So I started doing these radio shows in January of 2014 is when I began, when I debuted my first full-length radio show that I would do all the time. And I co-hosted on another show called Zion's Redemption before I had a falling out with the host of that show. So I started my own show in 2014, January of 2014. And when I was, I think it was 2015, 2016, I came off the road because I was an over-the-road truck driver. So like my first shows, like they're really sketchy. I mean, they're bad audio, like I didn't have a good headset or microphone. It was a pain. So, but I used to do these radio shows wherever I was at. I'd be like, coming to you live from Chattanooga, Tennessee, or coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, or from Buffalo, New York. Wherever I was at in the country is where I was at. But when I came home off the road, I ran for the post office and I brought the mail from the distribution center in Provo, Utah, which is where all the U mail goes through that goes to anywhere in southern Utah. It goes to that distribution center. And my route was to take the mail for all the post offices in Carbon and Emery counties down to Price in a semi truck. And then I would unload that semi truck, put all of Helper's and Price's mail and Schofield and like all of these areas in Carbon County would go into the Price post office. And then I would take the carts of mail that went to Emery County for all the post offices in Emery County except for Green River. And I would deliver all the mail to those places in Emery County. The truck that goes to Monticello and Moab is the one that did the Green River because, it's on the route. So, but I covered everything else for Emery County. So I was the postmaster for Carbon in Emery counties. And the reason they call us postmasters is because we dealt with money. So any money that we received that was paid, like, brought in through any of the branches of the post office would go back with us, and we would have to, or anything like, well, one time I had this watch that was like a six-figure valued watch. I think it was like $600,000 watch, and it was being delivered or shipped from, for some reason, Emery County to somewhere out in Saudi Arabia or something. I can't remember. Anyway, but like we did that. So anyway, my job was to pick the mail up at 3:45 in Emery, Utah, which is where I did my radio show from last night. And I would then go to Farran, Clawson, Orangeville, which is where I lived for many years, 3 years to be exact, Castledale, Huntington, Cleveland, Elmo, and then I'd go to Price, and I'd get there around 6. I'd have to unload the box truck and then load the semi truck with all of Carbon's mail and all of Emery's mail, and then I would get back usually around 8 to Provo, Utah. And then so for the first part of my life as a postal trucker, we lived in Spanish Fork, and I'd get home around, or I'd get back around 8. My wife would be there with the kids, And from 8 to 2 in the morning, I would have off every day. And we would go to the Provo Rec Center and swim with the kids, which I really miss doing that stuff. I know that the kids loved it, but they would close around 10, and we'd usually be out of there by about 10:30, and then we'd be back to the house by 11. My wife always made me food to take with me, and then I'd do the radio show from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., and then I would do overdrive from 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. And then I would be back to the post office at 2 to load the truck with all the mail that was going down to Carbon in Emmett Counties, and then I would be out of there by 2:35 and in Price by 4 in the morning. Anyway, so then I would be done with the whole route around 6 in the morning, and then I would sleep. I'd be off from 6 to 3:45 when I had to pick the mail up again, which drove me nuts because I was like, I can't get my 10-hour break. And they're like, oh, you can just put it on your sleeper because you can do split sleeper berth. But I'm like, I don't have a sleeper. We actually had an apartment in Ferron, Utah, where I would go to sleep during the day before I moved down to Orangeville. And it just drove me nuts. So eventually, because of the Christmas rush, because they couldn't hire drivers, and I was working 6 or 7 days a week sometimes. And because, like, when the bad winter storms would come in, sometimes I wouldn't be done till 10 or 11 in the morning, and then I'm supposed to go to sleep, drive from Emory to Ferron, which is 15 miles, I think it is. Then I'm supposed to go to sleep, get all my food ready, cook, showered, and then back over to Emory to pick up the mail at 3:45. And I'm like, this isn't even legal. I can't do this job. You guys have to move the schedule back so I can leave earlier and get done sooner. Anyway, but they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Nobody would listen to me. I called and talked to the director of the region for the Western United States for the post office. Nobody cared. Like, they were like, well, we're the post office and we can just do whatever we want, was basically the gist of the answers they gave me. Anyway, so eventually I had enough and I quit. So I started driving belly dump in Emery County, and then I go to the different mines and power plants now, and I should be doing that tonight, but that's another story completely. Anyway, but so that's what I do. I do the radio shows from 11 to 2 in the morning, and I was really consistent because I had a schedule, and I don't have a schedule anymore. Everything's up in the air, and I do it when I can, and that's just the way it is. But anyway, so the reason I'm not driving tonight is because last night I didn't get home. I didn't get into bed till 2 in the morning, and my blessed little almost 8-month-old son, who still sleeps in between mommy and daddy. We like have pillows around him and stuff, so we don't roll over him or anything. But he sleeps in the middle, and he was very, very, very whiny last night, all night long. About 5 in the morning, finally decides to go to sleep. For my wife, like, she had to go to work all day today, and she's exhausted. I'm exhausted. I slept from about 5 in the morning to 7-ish. I think it was 7:20 when I got out of bed. Oh, no, it was earlier than that because my kids hadn't left for school yet. Anyway, and then I was up all day long. So as soon as my kids got home from school today and they could watch the baby, I zonked out. I couldn't drive. I was too tired. Anyway, but I slept till about 10:30, and I was hungry because I hadn't eaten either. So I got out of bed and made myself some leftovers and decided to do a radio show because I did get a nap in. Unfortunately, right now the mine is down, and I was like, well, should I go out and drive tonight, or should I just not? And I know that if I go out and drive tonight, even if I only do a couple of loads, that tomorrow I'm going to be back in the same boat I was in today, exhausted all day, because then I'm going out at like 11. I don't probably won't pull out of the yard till 11:30, and then in order for me to do two runs, it takes about 7 hours. So I get home around 6 in the morning, maybe 7, and then I'm awake all day till the kids get home again, and then I'm zonked out because I'm so tired. So it's this life that I have is like I have to plan forward and realize if I do this, this is what life is going to be like later on. And sometimes I'm willing to like lay on the couch all day and have my kid in the pack and play and jumping up and down in his bouncy seat, and I kind of doze off a little bit here and there, and that's just the way it is. I hate it. So I was like, well, I think I'll just not do that to myself again, which I don't think it's healthy that I do that to myself sometimes, where I'm up for a ridiculous amount of time. Plus, I'm still kind of tired because I only slept from like 4:30 to 10:30. So, anyway, I decided to stay home tonight, but it doesn't look like we have anybody calling in. And I'll just refresh it real quick. And nobody in the chat room either. So, we're going to end the show. And I'll do another one tomorrow, which is in 7 minutes. So, anyway, thank you for listening to this. I will be posting this, like I said, in the different groups. If you hear the show and you're not following me on Facebook, you can do that at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. That's my Facebook. You can follow me there. I think there's about 50 slots left before I'm capped off. But if it does cap off at 5,000, which it has before, you can also follow me. And I have like 4 or 5 or 600 followers beyond the friends list that you can follow me. And I think that's in, like, you can get my notifications and stuff and follow me in that way too. So, anyway, thank you for listening. Take care, everyone. God bless, and goodbye.
Thank you.